welcome to the first episode of our new podcast, Dap Happy. We're calling it Dap Happy because we love daps and we're happy. So I'm your host, John Jordan, and for the first one, I hope you're going to kind of he's going to be with me for a lot of the episodes, but for the first one, we have Dragos from Dap Radar. How's it going, Dragos?
Hey, nice to have this podcast together. Yeah, all good. I'm happy to be here. Dap Happy.
Happy to be Dap Happy.
exactly. So yeah, all good.
Cool. So should you point out, kind of, we work together at Dap Radar, and we do spend a lot of our time. Just, I mean, certainly I do, and I know you do as well. Looking at DApps, what the new DApps, what's going on in DApps, and so I think, yeah, Dap Happy is quite a good term for it, because we're just a little bit obsessed in a good way, I think.
yeah, sure. Obviously, while working with DApps, but Dap Radar, we have to look at DApps each day, and we are looking at DApps, we are trying DApps, we are reviewing DApps and so on. So yeah, we are in constant contact with DApps.
And I guess we should point out, because we're so into it, we kind of forget, you know, what is a DApp?
It's really, I would say it's really easy to explain it. Depending on obviously on what is the knowledge of the listener, but it's like a normal app. Just that the most of the functionality, most of the logic of that app, it's running on smart contracts. So yeah, that's like a really simple explanation. But then, of course, if we go into more details, like what is a smart contract,
that's the next thing, isn't it?
And so on. Yeah, exactly. We can keep it going for hours.
Yeah. So yeah, a smart contract is just a bit of code that runs on a blockchain. A blockchain is just a decentralized system of computers. Nothing clever particularly. I mean, there are clever things in there, but it's nothing conceptually very, very complex. And a DApp is just a decentralized app. So that's where we come from, DApp. But let's continue to go back in and kind of start from the beginning. So you and Skamantis are the kind of co-founders of Dap Radar, and I thought it might be interesting, to give us that kind of, you know, that origin story. How did Dap Radar come about? We just celebrated 2 years of the website being live. So how did you two come up with that idea? How did you get it off the ground?
Yeah, so basically, yeah, me and Skamantis, we have a long history together on doing all sorts of projects, all sorts. We had another successful project before Dap Radar. So yeah, we were all constantly looking at new things, at new interesting things that we could do. And I had a friend that he was always telling me about cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin in general, and that I should look into that, I should learn more about that. And at the same time, I was passing this information to Skirmantas. So basically, we have started to look into cryptocurrencies at first, and then Ethereum came out, and we started to look at Ethereum, and we found out about smart contracts. We learned about smart contracts, and we thought it's really interesting. It's really a really cool concept. It was just starting back then, and then after months and months and months, we discovered CryptoKitties, basically. So
it always starts it. CryptoKitties seems to be for a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. That's the trigger, basically, for a lot of projects, actually. So yeah, and then after a while, we have discussed about CryptoKitties, and then Skirmantas came up with a really simple page, which was showing the details of CryptoKitties, like the number of users, the number of the volume, and so on. So basically, that's how it started. And then we found other smart contracts that belong to different DApps, and we put them together in a list. So, and this is how it started, actually. We started to post about it on Reddit, on Twitter, and so on. It got really popular, like suddenly, like in 1 week, it was really popular on Reddit and so on. And that's how it started.
Oh, you were much, much earlier than me into kind of blockchain. I was later into kind of 2018. But it was an interesting time, I guess, kind of driven by obviously the big kind of pricing bubble, kind of cryptocurrencies. And then I guess after that kind of, that happened, CryptoKitties at the same time. And then the 2018 was, you know, there was quite a lot of interest then in DApps, wasn't there? There's lots of stuff launching, obviously all very, not very deep kind of products, I guess. Lots of kind of simple things being launched, lots of kind of, certainly on the game side, lots of CryptoKitty clones, lots of, you know, there was just incredible, thinking back, the amount of people basically doing, it's not a kitty, it's a fish, or there's one about llamas and just crabs and just,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've seen different iterations of CryptoKitties, actually. Yeah, with different animals, different different objects, like cities, basically everything. Like you could buy buildings, you could buy cities, you could buy countries, and so on. So yeah, we've seen a lot of those. And then we've seen a lot of developers, like developers that were just really interested in CryptoKitties, in smart contracts, and so on. And they started to came up with nice ideas, with cool ideas, and here we are today with really complex things like DeFi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting that obviously when you started off, there was, you know, it was just Ethereum and really not much kind of running on that. And I guess we had EOS and Tron launching 2018, summer of 2018, and now DappRadar up to 13 blockchains that we're tracking, which is, I mean, they're not all as busy as each other, obviously, but and obviously there's many more blockchains out there, so it is, there's a lot of innovation kind of all the time.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we had that period when everyone was trying to be like the Ethereum killer, and everyone was coming out and saying, yeah, we have way more transactions per second, we are way faster, we are way safer, and so on. We are still looking at a lot of these blockchains. That's why we're also tracking them on DappRadar. We are really curious to see what's the activity in those blockchains. So, we're still waiting. Ethereum is still doing a lot of, it still has a lot of activity. So we haven't seen that in a lot of other blockchains so far.
I mean, I think for me, that was the interesting thing about kind of last year, 2019, that you kind of had this promise and of kind of Ethereum killers and all this kind of stuff. And there was a lot of hype and a lot of kind of funding raised around that. And there were a lot of developers trying stuff out. There was a lot of kind of experimentation. But then certainly by the end of 2019, we kind of saw how EOS and Tron were kind of panning out. I mean, they're very different blockchains in terms of their mechanics, in terms of their consensus, how they kind of come to agreement. I don't think it's very controversial to say those two, at least at the moment, haven't fulfilled kind of the potential with which they kind of launched back in 2018. I guess Tron has a lot of gambling dApps, which is fine. I mean, if you like gambling, I mean, Tron's the place to go. And EOS, a bit more mixed. It's still not really had a lot of gambling dApps. They seem to have fallen away. And there's a few kind of always interesting projects on these blockchains, but it's not very, very clear. Kind of what EOS is going to become. And I guess it's always funny, now we have the next generation of Ethereum killers, don't we? I was just making a list the other day, there's obviously Cardano is a big one, and then there's some other more obscure ones, and the kind of Near and Flow, the new one from the DappRadar CryptoKitty people. There's always another one. But I guess, are we going to run out of space to track them all? We're going to have, by the end of the few years' time, we'll have 50 blockchains that we're tracking.
Yeah, we're actually thinking on how to make it easier to have, like, to display and to categorize more blockchains. Because, yeah, I think that's a really cool thing to look at all these blockchains and to track their activity. Because, yeah, everyone is promising, but we also need to look at who's delivering, not just promising.
Yeah, and I think that's obviously where kind of DappRadar kind of actually kind of sits in the industry and kind of helps people out. There's a lot of hype, and obviously people are always looking at the price of tokens, which is kind of useful in some ways. People are, you know, very driven by that sort of thing, but it's not very, the price of a token isn't driven by what's going on the blockchain, particularly that I can see, even for Ethereum, you know. So it's kind of, I think, important for the people in the industry to have, like, good, solid numbers about, you know, what's actually happening. What are the biggest dApps? Where are they operating on? Are they going up or down? And I guess it's interesting, particularly, we've just added recently in the last kind of last week, actually, didn't we? We added tracking for Steam and Hive. So, yeah. do you want to tell us the story of Steam and Hive? how do you see that one?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, with Steam, how it all started, like, we were in constant connection with the community, with the Steam community, like, since last year, because, yeah, we were planning to list Steam even before everything, like, all the madness happened, like what is happening right now with Steam and Hive and Justin Sun and so on. So we were planning when everything was going cool and everything was fine on the Steam side. And then suddenly everything changed. And then a lot of people moved to a lot of the community moved to Hive. And now, yeah, it's crazy what's happening there. Like, everyone is blaming everyone.
Now, I think it is, and again, I guess that's where DappRadar is going to be useful. So, we wanted to cover Steam because Steam's actually got a couple of really popular dApps. So Splinterlands is actually the most popular, at the moment at least, the most popular dApp on Steam. It's actually a game. It's actually the most popular. It's the most popular dApp across all blockchains, most popular game. Used to be called, so Splinterlands used to be called Steam Monsters back in the day. And Steam, it as a blogging platform, has been around since 2016, I think. So they had these really solid kind of products with a lot of activity. And then we don't have to go into all the detail, but then basically Justin Sun from the Tron Foundation basically took over Steam, managed to get their hands on the majority of tokens, and basically they made some changes to that blockchain that some people in the community didn't like. So it's a blockchain, it's open source software. So those people said, we don't like what you're doing. We're going to make a new blockchain called Hive, which basically it's kind of a copy of it, but it's not backwards compatible. So you basically have to kind of choose kind of where you want to go. And there's been a lot of fun and games around changes happening to those blockchains and people taking tokens and giving them back. And
yeah, it's really crazy. And now, like, there are more people involved, like, I don't know, the Binance CEO. And now the last thing that happened when someone kind of hacked the transaction of that Justin Sun was supposed to get, like, to get the money, to get the funds from Steam witnesses. It's really crazy what's happening, because now there are another exchanges involved, like by Bitfinex, where all the funds were sent, and now they need to decide where to send those funds. They should send them to Justin Sun, they should send them back, and so on. So yeah, I think there are like a lot of elements involved at this point in time, and yeah, we'll see how things will go.
But I think it's good, because I mean, while we might individually have kind of views on what's happening, you know, looking at the data is going to, you know, it's going to kind of prove what's going on, really. So you know, we have, it's actually kind of an ideal situation for a company like that Radar, because basically we're tracking everything on Steam, we're tracking everything on Hive, and actually we're going to see Splinterlands, like the biggest dApp on Steam, is going to move to Hive in next week. So we can immediately see, you know, what's happened. How does the community split? I think, you know, I don't think everyone's going to leave Steam and go to Hive. It seems like there are some people who are really sticking with Steam and don't like Hive. So it's, you know, you can, there's views both ways. But I think, you know, what we'll see over time is, you know, where's the activity gone? You know, has Steam just maintained its level? Has Hive, well, you know, I guess it'll be interesting if Hive ever takes over Steam in terms of activity, because that will prove that they've kind of, you know, made something new. But yeah, I think that's one of the great things about data is you can argue about what's going on, but you have to use the data. You have to, you know, you can't just make stuff up. So
yeah, in the case of Splinterlands, I think it's really interesting, because as far as I know, I'm not sure 100% about this, but like I think 60% of the users on Steam are like also users of Splinterlands. So we'll see if how many of those users will move to Hive, as you said. Yeah.
Okay, so let's go a bit more, get a bit more personal. So we spend all our time looking at these kind of numbers, but we're using dApps kind of all the time. So what are you doing? What are the kind of the dApps that you're kind of using, and why do you find them interesting?
Yeah, I think the last dApp that I got obsessed with is Pull Together. Actually, I think it's a really great concept. What they have done there, they brought like a really complex set of smart contracts, like from Compound, all the things that they're doing, like on the what's happening on the back end of Pull Together, and they have a really nice and smooth interface which allows people to just participate in a lottery. I know they do not like the term of lottery, but this is how it's easier to explain it like that to normal users. And I think they brought a really complex concept in a really simple way to the users. And I think this has also the capability to be used by the average users. I think I've showed this to my friends and to my family, which they do not have, they do not know how to use dApps and to install MetaMask, but actually using like, I don't know, wallets like Argent, where it's like really easy to use Pull Together or these DeFi dApps. I think it's like, it's a really nice concept which can be used by the normal users, average users. And I think this is what we need at this point in time in the dApps space.
It's the kind of, what I'm always looking at in blockchains is, you know, and when it comes to dApps and games, you know, what are people making that can't be made, you know, any other way? Because that's kind of, it's very easy to just kind of remake something that's already made and try to put it on a blockchain. And generally, that's, I don't think, a good thing to do, because blockchains have so much complexity around kind of onboarding and you know, all this sort of stuff. But something like Pull Together is kind of, you know, the concept is exactly like, you know, you buy a lottery ticket, But it's not like at the end of the week you have to buy another one. You put $100, put $10 in, and that, you always have those $10 of lottery tickets. So you always have a chance of winning. But what you're going to win is basically a pool of everyone who's bought tickets, and say there's $1 million in there. That $1 million is put into another DeFi app, which gives interest. Because people are borrowing that money, those tokens, and paying a high level of interest. So it's very kind of simple concept. So that money comes back, and then every week is given away as a prize. So it's kind of beautifully simple, but I think impossible to do without using a blockchain.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a really nice thing what they're doing. Also, I saw that they're planning a new version, I think version 3, as far as I know. And I think they will allow everybody to create a pool, basically, so a kind of like a prize pool. So if we want to do like a community pool for DappRaider, let's say, you can just create it and we can just ask our community to join there, and we can split the prize. 50% can go to a charity, 50% to the winner, for example.
That'd be really good. Yeah, 'cause I think the one thing we pulled together is at the moment. The concept was really good, but I kind of gave up because it sounds really bad. I never won anything. I didn't really expect to, but then the more people who put money in, then obviously your chances of winning got less and less. So I think last time I looked, it was something like one in 40,000 or something. So it's like I was clearly never going to win, and you weren't actually going to win very much. So obviously the point of a lottery normally is you spend a dollar, but you might win, $1 million. So there's you're not risking much, but if you're definitely not going to win, but someone wins a lot. Whereas this one, it was a bit more like you were winning. I think when I was doing it, it was about $1,000 a week, which is not a small sum.
Yeah,
but equally kind of, yeah, I don't know. But I like the idea that what I liked about it was the kind of altruistic idea was, I put the money in, and whether I win or not, it doesn't matter because someone's won and no one's lost any money, sort of thing. That was kind of nice. So to taking it on to a community thing where, like DappRaider could set thing up, or you could, when you have user-generated content in there, then that's really powerful because you're kind of playing on that altruistic community kind of aspect. And I think that's more important than the winning. Cool. Yeah, pull together. Definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, pull together. Yeah, that's one of the dApps that I'm using. Like getting back to your question, other dApps like from the games category, I'm still a Axie Infinity player. I'm playing it. I'm trading Axies. I'm buying. I'm selling.
Are you?
Yeah, sometimes. And I'm not there for profit. I'm still struggling to win some games. So yeah, I'm just looking for better Axies at not very high prices. So I'm more like to create a better team, not to make money out of it.
It seems Axie Infinity is the one. It's still not very big, but it's definitely the kind of go-to game for the kind of blockchain crypto insiders sort of thing. It definitely has a kind of a really good community, and they pretty much, I think, when the people are, come across, a lot of them are playing Axie and have done it for a long period of time. I have played it, but I can never have enough time. I never really feel like I'm understanding it. I started to understand how CryptoKitties is kind of the breeding thing work, but Axies, I never feel like I got to grips with kind of how you kind of bred the good ones and how you worked out which ones were good ones. And now they've added this new battle thing. I kind of feel like it's going to take me even more time. It's always a time thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I have a few people on Twitter that they're actually breeding and trading Axies for money, and they're making a living out of that. So I think that's pretty cool. If you play enough and you kind of mine those token, those life potions, love potions. Sorry, you can just breed more Axies. And you can make money out of that. So there are people just living out of selling Axies, and I think that's pretty cool.
And I have to say, I know a lot of the people involved in it. I do love it as a project because they started off with something very simple that was basically, they were into CryptoKitties and they wanted something a bit more game to it. But they really have progressed, I think. They've moved on from thinking about the breeding side of it, and then they've added this new battle kind of element, and then they've got I guess over the next year, 6 months to a year, they got this land, permanent land that you can kind of build things on and have you know stuff going on there, and it then becomes like a metaverse where all the land comes together. And I mean, quite a lot of games are doing that sort of thing, but I think they've always been one of the first to have that roadmap.
Yeah, we'll see. I've spent a few hundred dollars on the land. Yeah, we'll see when it goes live and what we can do with that.
I always, whenever there's a land sale, I always kind of buy one bit of land. I always kind of think, well, just in case. So I always buy like the cheapest bit of land. So I do have one land in Axie Infinity, just in case. And I always kind of think it's kind of good to go through the process and understand how it works. Keep my eye out for that one. Yes, Axie Infinity, and I think they definitely. I'm not involved, but I think they definitely have a. They always say they have a very kind of good and welcoming Discord channel. So it's a game that I think kind of new players. It's not. There is a competitive element to the game, but I think as a community that they're very kind of friendly, and I've heard of people turning up and then being given like free axes from people who've got
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm also a member of the Discord community, and I can say it's true. Like the community, just a really simple example, a new player in the Axie Infinity just listed a good Axie at a really low price, like a really, really low price, like for nothing, by mistake probably, or he had no idea what happened. And someone actually bought that Axie and sent him back to him and told him on Discord that the value is way higher than what he tried to sell it for. So I think that's really nice in a community that they do that.
Good. And then the final DApp we're going to talk about today is Uniswap, which is, I guess it's not a, I guess it's kind of functional, isn't it? It's not really, you use it because you want to swap tokens, isn't it? But I still think, I mean, you're a product guy as well. I always just liked it because it's really obvious what you do. I always thought the UX was really nice on it.
Sure, I think before Uniswap, I was always, I don't know, I was using IDX, I was using Fork Delta, which are really complex, let's say, exchanges, decentralized exchanges, but with a really complex interface, with so many elements that you need to look at. We need to decide the prices and so on. So there are like so many things involved, and you need to be aware of what you're doing there. And then Uniswap came out. Obviously, it's working in a different way, but still, you can still trade that Ethereum for any ERC-20 token or vice versa. So they kind of brought this simplicity of just trading really easy from kind of swapping a token for another in a really easy interface. So I think they nailed that. That's why I think it's one of the main points that they had for the success that they had, basically.
Reading the backstory of that, I mean, it was basically just kind of pretty much one guy who I don't think he'd even been a coder before. He could basically learn how to code, came up with this idea, got a bit of funding, kind of launched it out there. Not to say he didn't know what he was doing. I think he obviously got stuff audited and he got a lot of help from people, but it just basically just he had a good idea, put it out there. And I'm exactly with you. I didn't really use them very much, but to use stuff like the kind of Fork Delta, it was just like gobbledygook. It was like just so many like lines everywhere and just like numbers everywhere. I like numbers, but they're just like, it was very unclear what you were supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I got some ether and I wanted to swap it into, I don't know, BAT or something. I wasn't trying to do some complicated kind of time-based kind of set up some sort of time-based kind of limit strategy. I just wanted to take $10 of ETH and put it into BAT for some reason, and Uniswap was just like, well, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I remember I tried to get into Decentraland, so I needed mana to buy something, I think land or some characters, I don't remember exactly what. I just wanted to turn Ethereum into mana to just get into Decentraland. So it took me, I don't know, maybe half an hour on IDX to create an account, confirm the account, send the funds and so on. So it took so long to actually just swap something, some Ethereum to a token. So I think Uniswap kind of solved that. You don't need any account. You just log in with your wallet and that's it.
And I think as you've kind of seen that, I guess going back to, DappRadar, we obviously track all this sort of stuff. And you've just seen the growth of Uniswap, stuff like Fork Delta and IDEX, people still use them for the kind of complicated strategy, but they've not grown in the way Uniswap has. I think Uniswap, I mean, there are a few other kind of, I guess for if you are a more complex trader, then Uniswap isn't probably for you, because you can't, you basically get a price, you know, it's not necessarily the best price, but you're doing it for convenience. So there are other, like 1-inch, and so there are other kind of ways of kind of trading.
Sure. I think they serve different purposes. So, but it's good to have the options. Like if I just want to do something quickly, I have Uniswap or Kyber Swap now, like, which I think it's a really good product as well. But yeah, if I want to do more complex things, I don't know, have limit orders and so on, I can just go to IDX or Delta.
And the other nice thing about Uniswap, but you kind of see it more and more, is obviously people can basically integrate that because it's an open source. You know, just get the stuff off GitHub. You can do your own interface, or you can embed it. There was one exchange I was using. It was like an NFT exchange the other day. And they've just taken, it doesn't say Uniswap anywhere on it, but you can just say they've just taken Uniswap and they're using that for their internal exchange. And again, that goes back to like a fundamental of blockchain, is someone builds something and then someone can take that and go, oh, that's a good idea, I'll put that into my product. And then you kind of have it, they talk about DeFi Lego or something like, you know, Lego bricks. It's not necessarily the best comparison, but I guess it kind of makes people understand that these products can be, you can kind of layer them together in an interesting way and kind of create much deeper, kind of richer experiences than you would get from having to do that all, you know, do that all yourself. And obviously, if something's working like Uniswap, why would you try and build another exchange? You can just take that. So.
Yeah, sure. I actually tweeted like 1 or 2 weeks ago about some statistics about Pool Together, that kind of like the number of Pool Together DAI holders was higher than the number of Compound DAI holders. I think the CEO of Compound just replied and he said, yeah, in a few years or like in the future, like the Compound DAI will be like really, really low, like the holders of Compound DAI will be really low. And most of the funds, most of the liquidity will come from other projects like Pool Together or any other projects that can build on top of Compound. So I think this is where we are going. Like we are seeing these products like Compound, like MakerDAO and so on, and like another whole ecosystem that is built on top of that. So that's the beauty of the blockchain.
We have plenty more to talk about in our future podcast. So excellent. Thanks very much, Dragos, for being on the first podcast.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I hope we did a good job for the first episode.
I think I enjoyed it. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Well, we'll find out. So thank you if you got this far, listeners. Well done. tell us what you think. Or we'll put our kind of Twitters out in the show notes. If you like what you're hearing, don't forget to subscribe. So we are going to be available through all the usual kind of podcast channels. So do subscribe. Every week we're going to be dApp happying about what's going on in the world of dApp. So if you're interested in blockchain, that sort of thing, I hope you find it useful. But otherwise, thanks for listening and come back next week.